Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. It's so good. Alfred Lord Tennyson, one of the great poets, stated that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And this is so true. Prayer sustains society more than any other factor, I believe. And Ephesus is known in this community throughout the Concord Association and many parts of the Commonwealth of Virginia as a praying church. And this fact was apparent to Connie and me the very first month we began serving here. Weekly, someone in the church receives a call or calls requesting prayer from this body of believers. And we pray for those who request our prayers. Well, what does God's Word say about prayer? I want us to look at one aspect of prayer as set forth in God's Word. And our text this morning is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And I also shall read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" In Matthew we read, and this is Jesus speaking, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You will notice in these two recorded instances of the, quote, Lord's Prayer, quote, that Luke ends his recordation of it by saying, "and lead us not into temptation," and Matthew concludes his recordation of it by saying, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, these are not what we normally pray as the Lord's Prayer. What we traditionally pray is, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." That came from the Anglican Book of Common Prayer written in 1662. And in 1977, the Church of England adopted a new English version that reads as follows. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The question is, do we know how to pray as we should? Because prayer is a spiritual discipline. It can be strenuous and frustrating. It can be physically and mentally demanding. And it appears from the text in Luke and in Matthew that the disciples may have been struggling with the art of prayer. They did not ask Jesus, teach us how to preach or teach us how to teach, yet they recognized their need for help with prayer. Luke mentions that Jesus was praying in a certain place when one of the disciples approached him and talked to him concerning prayer. It might have been that Jesus' example of prayer brought into contrast their lack of an effective prayer life. But when we pray, we receive the gift of God Himself. Prayer is communion with God. God wants us to know Him. He has no high and mighty attitude of I'm in heaven and you are on earth. I am God and you are my subjects. You are peons in my kingdom. He wants us to know Him. And as we grow in prayer, we discover that prayer is more than simply asking God for things. It's more than a selfish means to an end. Prayer is not an attempt, or should not be an attempt, to force the hand of God to give us what we want, but it should be an act of submission by us to God. It should be done with the understanding that God's answers are wiser than our prayers. Prayer is to impress us with God more than it is to impress God with us and our needs. And if we gain anything from the act of prayer, if we gain nothing, from the act of prayer, but commune with God, then that should be sufficient for us. However, we must be careful when we pray what is called the Lord's Prayer, because sometimes it is a hindrance and not a help. And this is because for many, the Lord's Prayer simply is a prayer to recite. In many churches and religious organizations, recitation of the Lord's Prayer is more of a ritual than a true prayer. However, this model prayer can be a life-changing experience. There's no magic in any prayer, and mechanical recitation is empty and meaningless. Remember, Jesus told us that when we pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many repetitions of a prayer. As we truly pray the Lord's Prayer with understanding, we may find that it changes our very lives. There is an intensity to true prayer. Prayer is a social action. It is an economic force and a political might. Prayer is stronger than all of the armies of the world. Some people think of prayer as a parachute, unfortunately. It's there if they need it, but they hope they never will need to use it. In prayer, we rely on God. And those of us who do not pray are saying that we can make it on our own, that we do not need God's help. And some turn to God only when their fragile foundation begins shaking, and eventually they learn that it's God that's doing the shaking to get their attention and hopefully to convince them that they need to communicate with Him and to rely on Him. We sometimes struggle with how God answers, or as some of us would say, does not answer our prayers. We are disappointed, but we know in our heart of hearts that God answers every prayer. It's not necessarily the answer for which we are looking, but God answers every prayer. But John's first epistle tells us that we must be cautious when we pray, that our prayers need to be according to God's will. If not, there's almost no chance that God will answer them in accordance with the request that we make. If you'll notice in the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, there is no spiritual frosting. It avoids pompous, high-sounding phrases, sticking to simple, meaningful concepts. We begin with God's glory and then move on to our own needs. The Lord's Prayer is God-centered, not me-centered. Notice Jesus does not discuss the posture of prayer. The Bible records that people praying kneeling, standing, sitting, lying face down. Jesus does not dictate the place of prayer. We can pray anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a tabernacle or a synagogue or a church. And God does not discuss the manner of prayer. Prayer is not getting a serious look on your face or adopting a certain tone of voice. Jesus does not specify the time that we need to pray. Now, many people organize their lives so that they set aside specific times in which they pray. And that's fine, but prayer is fitting any time, under any circumstances. We can pray in a church, but we can also find church within ourselves. In fact, we are called to be portable sanctuaries, to carry the good news to people, not wait for them to come to a sanctuary or to a chapel in order to hear the good news. We ought to be the sanctuaries that go out into the community. And Paul instructs us to pray without ceasing. And when we live in a God-conscious state, we begin to recognize the presence of God around us, which opens up channels of communication between us and God. As Christians, we should not pray the Lord's Prayer simply as an empty religious ritual. However, we can pray without using those exact words, because the Lord's Prayer is a blueprint for prayer, a flexible model, not a rigid formula, but it is appropriate also to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, because when we pray them in the correct spirit, we unfold the entire Bible message and a summary of our relationship to God. If you think about that, it includes the Bible message and our relationship to God. Other than not wanting to recite the Lord's Prayer merely as a ritual, there's another reason that people probably won't admit, but there's another reason that people don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Because praying the Lord's Prayer puts demands upon us. And it's risky if we pray it if we cannot meet those demands. We cannot rightfully say "our" if we are only living for ourselves. We cannot rightfully say "Father" if we do not live as a child of God. We cannot rightfully say "in heaven" if we are laying up no treasure there. We cannot rightfully say "your kingdom come" if we are not doing our part to hasten the coming of such a day. We cannot rightfully say "your will be done" if we are disobedient to God day after day after day. We cannot rightfully say "on earth as it is in heaven" if we are unwilling to serve God on earth now. We cannot rightfully say "give us today our daily bread" if we do not rely upon God to provide for us, if we think we can do it all, if we think we can take care of ourselves. We cannot say "forgive us our sins" if we harbor a grudge against another person or persons. We cannot say "lead us not into temptation" if we deliberately place ourselves in the path of temptation and do not try to avoid it. We cannot rightfully say "deliver us from evil" if we have not put on the whole armor of God to give us the protection we need in addition to prayer. We cannot say "for the kingdom" if we are not loyal to God the King as His faithful servants and subjects here. We cannot rightfully attribute to God the power if we fear what people may say or do. We cannot rightfully ascribe to God the glory if we are seeking honor for ourselves. And we cannot rightfully say "now and forever" if our life is bounded completely by arbitrary time constraints. A Puritan minister who lived in the 1600s, William Gurnall, observed, "When people do not care what God speaks to them in His Word, God cares little what they say to Him in prayer." Think about that. When people do not care what God speaks to them in His Word, God cares little about what they say to Him in prayer. The question for us is this: on what are we relying? When we rely upon education, we receive what education can provide. When we rely upon talent, we receive what talent or skill can provide. When we rely upon technology, we receive what technology can provide. When we rely upon government and organizations, we receive what the government and organizations can provide. However, when we rely upon prayer, we receive what God can provide. And there is no limit to what He can provide us if we but commune with Him and talk to Him and truly pray to Him. Those devoted to prayer accomplish things by prayer. They begin with prayer, not by tacking on prayer as an afterthought once decisions have been made. When faced with a challenge, the first thing to do is to go into prayer, not go into action. Those devoted to prayer give a priority to prayer and are never too busy to pray. Our level of Christian commitment is gauged by the character of our prayer life. So what is your commitment to God? Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Do you think God is satisfied with your prayer life? Prayer is not a special gift for a select few. And all who have trusted Jesus for salvation can pray as he taught, as recorded in his word. True prayer will not be achieved by human effort. It is a gift of God. It is part of the grace that God imparts to us. And if we are followers of Christ and we desire to learn how to pray, he stands ready to teach us. And not just in those two selections that I read from Luke and Matthew, but throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, there are numerous examples of prayers offered up by King David and others that give us examples of communicating with God through true relationship with him. So if we are followers of Christ and we desire to learn how to pray, all we have to do is say, Lord, teach us to pray. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, but the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and has led you to desire to become a follower of his, a child of God, what an opportunity you have to accept that gift of salvation today and to come forward and begin your walk with him and to learn the power of prayer. And we invite you to do that, to come forward and say, I confess my sins and accept Jesus as my Savior. And we'll pray with you and we'll talk with you about the next step on your journey. But come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 287, Take My Life.